I'll be quick, unlike Brother Jim. Amen. All right. Y'all believe that, right? All right. Verse number 42. I'm going to start reading. So if you'll help me out with that, I'm going to read down a ways, and we'll stop around verse number 52. And I really do have a short sermon for you this morning that I'm going to try to make it short anyhow. The Bible says, "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." Somebody tell me, what are we talking about? The feeding of the 5,000. All right, a miracle had taken place. And God had fed 5,000. According to the Bible right here, 5,000 men. That did not include the count on the women and the children. So we can somewhat estimate the number to be somewhere in the range of 15 to 20,000 people that were fed at this event and this particular miracle. At the end of this, the Bible says that everybody was full. They didn't just eat. Everybody, the Bible said, was full. And then the Bible says that they took up 12 baskets full of fragments, all right? Now, you can take that any way you want to, but they were 12 disciples that was doing all the work, passing out the food, and I believe God was providing for them. Is everybody all right? So, we move on. The Bible says in verse number 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse number 52, For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. I'm going to stop reading right there at that verse. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, I believe this is important for us to get a grip on, grab a hold of this morning, because if the disciples who were with Jesus could get a hard heart, how susceptible are we to a hard heart? If they seen the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and they ended up with a hard heart, then how is it somehow beyond our capability to think that we could have a hard heart when we give very little time to even reading our Bible? I think if we got real honest this morning, I believe that we could say that there's a lot of people that are suffering with a hard heart. I'm going to go ahead and say it over here. All right? I believe there's a lot of folks that are suffering from a hard heart. And you wouldn't know it because they look just like you. You wouldn't know it because they're in the same storm as you. You wouldn't know it because they're in the same boat as you. But the fact of the matter is that all 12 of them men that were sitting in that boat, according to the Bible, had a heart that had been hardened. Now we're talking about, it says, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves. This had just taken place literally hours ago. We're not talking about days ago. We're not talking about weeks ago. We're not talking about months ago. We're not talking about years ago. We are literally talking about just a few hours previous to this. Just a few hours before, they had watched him feed 15 to 20,000 people by his hands. And now they're sitting in a boat, and he has walked on water to them. I don't even know how to get into that. But he walked on water to them, and he gets in the boat with them. And the Bible says that they got hard hearts. weird. Come on, somebody got to help me this morning. Weird. You would think, I need somebody to help me right here. If I'm out in the middle of a storm and Jesus comes walking on the water, well, first off, I'm probably going to get out of the boat and try to swim to shore. But if I did manage to stay in the boat, let me just say this. When he got in the boat, we'd be celebrating and all something. Can I get a witness right here? But the Bible says that he got in the boat, and the Bible says, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us they didn't even react to this miracle until they got to the other side. I'm going to go back over here and say that. They didn't even react to the miracle until they got to the other side. See, it was all about the destination to them. I'm going to go say it over here. I'm going to find somebody spiritual in this building at some point, all right? Hey, it was all about the destination. They were so focused on where they wanted to be that they missed out on what was happening right in front of them. They were so focused on the future, brother, that they missed out on what God was doing right now, right there in their lives, and what God had already done. Because the Bible says they had a hard heart because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. It was their remembering that brought them to, hey, is everybody all right? I looked at this thing and I wrote down some factors that they went through that I believe applies to us in getting to a hard heart. Now, this ain't the message. This is just the introduction. But I think you can see it if you knew the scripture good enough. I think there was a fear of man. The Bible says in the first part of Mark chapter number 6 that John the Baptist was beheaded. And these things was told to Jesus and the disciples. So there was a fear of man. They was worried about what man thought about what they were doing. Can I say this? When you and I get so focused on what man thinks about what we're doing, we can find a hard heart. We can become a hard heart because we don't want somebody to ridicule us. We don't want somebody to persecute us. We don't want somebody to look down on us. And to keep that from happening, we'll go spiritually numb. Yeah, I noticed this. They were exhausted from ministering. You go back, the Bible says in Mark chapter number 6, they were sent out by twos. And they were sent out for a time of evangelism. And they had come back and they had worked great miracles. They had done great things. And the Bible says at the beginning of chapter number 6 that Jesus said that they had no rest. And so he was going to give them some rest. So they were exhausted from ministry. Can I say this? When you and I get exhausted from ministry, we get a hard heart. Y'all know that. I shouldn't even have to tell that. I mean, you know that. When church seems like a job, we get burned out. We get a hard heart. Yeah, start coming in there, and all of a sudden you get tired of seeing youngins. Man, I'm telling you, I got to be in the nursery. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of churches that wish they had some babies running around in them. There's a lot of churches that wish they had little youngins with fingerprints running around on the walls everywhere. There's a lot of churches that wish they was picking up candy wrappers all over the church house, all over the floor, pulling gum out of the carpet. They wish they had life back in the church. Let me just go on, but they got hard hearts. Hey, some of them, listen to this. Their expectations was let down. Now see, Jesus had told him, he said, let's go to a desert place where we can rest a while. That's what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 6. That's what Jesus, he built this thing up as, hey, we going on vacation, boys. Y'all get in the boat, we going to go over to the other side and rest a while. But if you go read the scripture, the Bible says that all the people seen them leaving and they ran around and got around in front of them. And that's why they ended up having to feed 15,000 people. Listen here, it didn't live up to the expectation. We were supposed to be resting, and here we are working. Because Jesus made the 12 disciples hand out all the food. Oh, he was breaking the bread, but they were handing it out. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody that's worked at a restaurant before to say this. 12 people feeding 15,000, there's going to be some testy things going on in that house. You got somebody, hey, I'll take some more of that sweet tea. Well, I'm trying to get the bread over here to somebody. I don't care. I'm paying for this. Is everybody all right? That's why every one of you ought to give a tip when you go out to eat. If you can't afford to give a tip, don't go out to eat. Go your butt home and fix your own food. Is everybody all right? I give 20% every time. I don't care if the service was good or the service was bad. If the service was bad, it's a grace. It's me giving grace to somebody. And Lord, help every one of us ought to give grace to somebody for the grace that you and I have received. If you can't give a 20% tip, stay home! Me and Michelle put up green beans. We'll give you a jar. For 5 hours yesterday. A lack of ability. They get over there and all these people start coming to them. We hungry. We got that. They come to Jesus. They said, look, send these people away. We can't feed all these people. You know, a lack of ability will get you in a hardened heart too. Preacher asks you to teach a Sunday school class or ask you to fill in for somebody, and because you don't feel like you can do it, all of a sudden you just hard. I need somebody to help me. How about a lack of finances? Oh, they said, hey, 200 penny worth ain't enough to feed all these people. We ain't got enough money, Jesus. We need some more money. There's a lot of people mad at Jesus right now because he ain't let them win the lottery. He ain't give them enough money. I need somebody to help me. Now, God, you can fix all my problems right here if you just let me win the lottery. If you just let me get some money, Lord, money can fix all my problems. Money's the reason. Never mind. Isolation. Bible says Jesus constrained them to get in the boat, but he didn't get in it with them. Don't you know when you feel isolated, it's easy to get a hard heart. It's a factor. It factors in. All these things was going on in these guys. Everything that I've already mentioned. And then that comes up and the Bible says there was contrary winds. You know what the word contrary means? I'm glad you asked. Opposite. Opposed as an adversary. Hostile. An opponent. That's what the word contrary means. Doesn't sound like the sails were flying, does it? The Bible says it was against them, contrary winds. The Bible says this in Matthew, by the way, this is the same place where Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. And the Bible says when Peter got out of the boat that he looked and the seas, the waves were boisterous. So I looked up boisterous and it means strong, violent, forcibly. Is everybody all right? Here they are. Jesus told them to get in the boat. They're in the direct will of God, going to where God told them to go. And contrary winds come against them. He's not with them. And the Bible says that it's opposing them. How many of you have ever felt like you're doing something and everything against you? Right? And the winds were boisterous, or the seas were boisterous. It was violently beating at them from every side. Can you not see why they had a hardened heart? Fear death. First thing Jesus spoke to him, he said, hey, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. I need somebody to think about that. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Why? They thought they was going to die. But you know what the Bible tells us the reason for their hard heart was? All those factors. Can I say this? All those factors come into it. All them factors come into play, but you know the one thing that God says right here in Scripture that caused their hard heart? They failed to remember. They considered not the miracles or the miracle of the loaves. Of all the factors that went into a hard heart, the one that specified right here is that they failed to remember. I'm gonna go over here. They failed to remember. I mean, no doubt everything else was in there. No doubt everything else was pressing on their mind. But the Bible indicates that the reasoning behind their hard heart was because they failed to remember. Real quickly, and I'm done. Every person in here can get through a hard heart. All right? By remembering the following practices of God in this setting. Is everybody ready? Hey, y'all want to talk about this? This is a theological bomb. Y'all ready? I want you to notice the very first thing that we need to remember is he sees us. I know, it's deep, isn't it? It was deep. Hey, very first thing that we got to remember. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad the seas are, no matter how strong the wind is, the very first thing that you need to know is there's never a time where he doesn't have his eye on you. There's never a time, no matter where he's at, no matter where you're at, there's never a time in your life that his eye will not be upon you. The Bible tells us in verse number 45, and straightway he constrained them to get into the ship. And in verse number 48, it says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And he saw them. He wasn't with them, but he saw them. He knew what was going on in their life. He knew how hard they were working to get over across that sea. And he knew that the winds were contrary, which meant he knew who their enemy was. I need somebody to help me right here. God knows that you're struggling. God knows that you're putting in the effort. God knows that you have a real enemy. And God knows exactly where you're at. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. I'm comforted by the fact that I know that no matter how bad it is in my life, God knows exactly where I am and he sees me. He knows exactly where I'm at and he sees me. Everybody ready for theological bomb number two? Y'all ready? Second thing, he spoke to them. Oh, yeah. Oh man, this is tough, preacher. I know I'm trying to get to point number three. But he spoke to them, the Bible says. The Bible says this in verse number 50. And for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The Bible says he spoke to them. Now, I need somebody to help me right here, but we miss out on a lot of things God says because we won't get in God's word. God does a lot of speaking to us and we won't hear it because we ain't in the right place to hear it. I'm going to need somebody to help me right there. I think that a lot of times we want a word from God, but we don't want to go find a word from God. We want a word from God. We want God to show up in our situation, but we're not willing to get a hold of God. I sing this saying, he speaks to us to calm us. He speaks to us to comfort us. He speaks to us to challenge us. And if you look at this scripture, I got to thinking about how this is the church. I got to thinking of how this is a perfect picture of the church. God told us to get in the boat. God told us to go over to the other side. God said there's a work for you and I to do, and everything in the world's going to try to come against us while we're trying to do that. But take comfort. God sees you. Take comfort. God will speak to you. And lastly, God, he stirs them. Everybody all right? He seen them. He spoke to them, and then the third theological bomb, he stirred them. Now see, there was verses I didn't read, but in verse number 54, the Bible says, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about. He stirred them. Preacher, how in the world, what are you saying? How did he stir them? Well, what was the reasoning for their hard heart? They didn't remember. And best we can tell, he got in a boat and they still didn't remember. I don't know what he said from the time he got in the boat till they got to the other side. But when they got to the other side, they knew exactly who they were talking to. And the Bible says that they ran through the whole region telling about him. As I looked at this, I thought, he sees us, he speaks to us, he stirs us. How does he stir us? He stirs us with his presence. He stirs us with his presence. He showed up where they were at. I need somebody to help me right here. Every Sunday morning, it seems like we come into this church in the middle of a storm. Through the week, we've been beat up, been pushed around, contrary wind, and we come in here on a Sunday morning only to get in his presence and let God love on us for just a little bit. His presence stirs us. I don't know about you, but every time I come to church, I get excited about going. Is everybody all right? I enjoy church. Now, when I first started going to church, I didn't like it, but I like it now. I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't like going to church, but man, I'd have church every day of the week. But I can't get y'all here on 3 days of the week, so there ain't no sense in me having church every day of the week. Is everybody all right? We see his presence stirs us, but his power stirs us. Can you imagine They had already seen a palsy, a man of the palsy. They'd already seen him healed. They'd already seen Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. They had already seen a withered man with a withered hand, his hand healed. They had already seen the miracle of turning water into wine. Is everybody all right? They had already seen some amazing things. They had already seen 5,000 people get fed because of the bread and five loaves and two fishes. But there's something else that we might have missed. If you go back to Mark chapter number 4, there was another time that they was on the sea. There was another storm that came on them, and God spoke to that storm and he calmed it. They'd already seen God do the work. I hope y'all getting this. They'd already seen God do what they needed him to do in this situation, but they'd forgot about it. They'd forgot about it. But it was his, is everybody ready? His presence. It was his power that stirred them. I need somebody to help me right here. If it wasn't good enough that he fed 5,000, he'd come walking out on the water in the middle of a storm. As soon as he got in the boat, the Bible says the wind ceased. I know y'all ain't getting it. Listen here. What they didn't understand was that he had power over all the elements. What they failed to understand was there was nothing that they would come up in life that God could not handle. I need somebody. You want to talk about, hey, you want to talk about getting away from a hard heart? You knew that every situation that you ever come up against, God can speak to it and it'll obey him. His presence, his power, his provision. I'm thinking that if God can feed 15 to 20,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he can take care of my family. I need somebody to help me. I see his provision. I seen his person. Now this is, you're going to have to do some studying for this, but the Bible says when they come to the other side, they knew him. You know what that means? They knew him not only as a Messiah, they knew him as a Messiah and they were following him as a Messiah. But when they come to the other side, when they said we knew him, they knew him and so they went out. They knew him as God then. See, they knew him as Messiah, the anointed one that was sent to save the world. But what they didn't understand was that he was actually God. Oh, I need somebody to help me. The problem with most of us and the reason most of us get a hard heart because of all those indicators in our life is because we don't know who God really is. We don't know who Jesus really is, the one that saved you, the one that lives inside of you, the one that dwells with you, the one that wants to have fellowship with you is a God of creation. Everybody all right? And it's potential. Their potential. That was my last one. It actually wasn't my last one, but it was what I wanted to get to. In Matthew chapter number 14, there's some things added to this story. In Matthew chapter number 14, we're told that as Jesus come walking across the sea, them old boys got scared and they looked out there and they figured out it was Jesus. He spoke to them. He seen them. He spoke to them. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you. I need somebody to help me. And Jesus said, come. And Peter said, really? And he got out of the boat. And the only, besides Jesus, the only man that we have a record of walking on water was Peter. That loud mouth, I need somebody to help me. Peter, if there was ever somebody that needed some help, he'd stick his foot in his mouth every time he turned around. But it was Peter that got out of the boat. Now see, we get all focused on Peter because Jesus said, oh, ye a little faith. But I want to throw this out there to you. Peter was the only one that had faith enough to get out of the boat. Peter got out of that boat and he started walking to Jesus. I'm going to say 3 things about this. He acknowledged who Jesus was. Listen here, you'll never walk on water if you don't realize that Jesus is God. If you don't realize that you serve God Almighty, you'll never walk on water. But then he asked, he said, bid me come if it be thou. And God said, come. Listen here, the biggest problem you and I have is getting out in front of God on things. But then we got to act. Peter took that first step.
Yes, he did.
Nobody else in that boat did.
That's right.
I say all that to say this. God stirred them. Through his presence, his power, his provisions, his person, and their potential. He inspired them because they watched. Could you imagine sitting in that boat and watching Peter walk on the water? I imagine, I'm just going to throw this out there, but I imagine that everybody in that boat was like, well, if Peter can do that, so can I. And you can. But here's the thing. We got too many Christians living with a hard heart. Because they forgot what God can do. I'm done. She's coming to the piano. Everybody listen to me. These boys had seen all these miracles performed. And in one night, they left. 15, 20,000 people got fed. In just a few hours, they done forgot about it. If it's possible for them to do that, how scary is it in mine and your life? I've never seen Jesus feed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. But here's what I do know, Brother Kenny. I read about it.
That's right.
Get over here. I read about it. I read about a lot of other things that he did too that they hadn't yet seen. Matter of fact, all through history, I've read about a lot of things that Jesus and God did. You can go all the way back to the garden and come all the way back to where we are today. I can even look into the future of what he's going to do. And I can say this, there's a lot of things you and I know that God is capable of doing. The scary thought is, if they could be removed from the miracle in just a few hours, forget. How scary is it for us if we don't remember? We're going to celebrate Memorial Day, and most of us already got plans, and we're going to go out there and we're going to have the time of our lives. We're going to get over there on the lake. We're going to do all these other things, but sacrifices of men that was before us. We need to remember those things. Is everybody all right? We need not only remember those things, we need to be thankful for those things. But there's a danger in our churches because we've not seen God raise the dead. We've not actually physically seen a body die and some God raise it from the dead. We ain't seen that. We ain't physically seen that. They did. They seen Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. But here's what I do know about all that. Is everybody all right? I look at Jesse who's fixing to get up there and baptize, and I seen a man that was dead in sin. I seen a man, I seen a spiritual body that was dead to sin. It was not living. And I seen God save him. And I seen God do a work in him. Finished 3 years of Bible college. Helps me with my Sunday school class. Is everybody all right? I could go all through this building of people God found dead and saved us. But there's a danger in not remembering. Why don't you come to the altar this morning? Get your mind back on God. Get your mind off of the storm. I know the boat. I know the winds are contrary. I know the sea is boisterous. I know there's fear living in this world today. Fear of the unknown, the uncertainty of what's next. Let's go back. Let's go back to the place where God found you. Let's go back. Heads bowed with me. Let's go back. Lord, I don't want a hard heart. Seen too much of it. Seen too many serving God, meaning well. Get a hard heart. Remember this morning what he's done for you. Remember how he loved you. Remember the grace that was bestowed upon you, the goodness that's been given to you, the love that's been showered down on you, the mercy that you experience every day of your life. Remember what God's capable of. This morning, I want to ask a question. Nobody's looking around. If you'll help me out, bow your heads with me just for a moment and close your eyes so we don't embarrass anybody. This morning I ask a simple question. If you was to die sitting where you're sitting this morning, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you was to take your last breath this morning in this building, do you know whether you'd go to heaven or hell? This morning you say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I would go if I died. I'm not sure I would go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go to hell. I don't know, preacher. I honestly don't know. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just lift your hand right up where I can see it. Not call you out or not embarrass you. Just lift your hand right up and you can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that anywhere in the building? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for Memorial Day. Thank you for this church, the members, the people of this church, Lord, the family that's this church. God, I pray that you continue to, Lord, bless us and use us, Lord, to minister to others for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord, that others may be saved. God, I pray that you would use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Jesse.
Church, this is Miss Diana. She got saved a few weeks ago. Let's come to follow the Lord in baptism. Diana, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Raise your walk.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Amen. Well, I sure appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here. Let's do this. I'm going to go back to the back. Dalton, you stand up and pray right there for us, all right?